What's up, Grizz Nation? Welcome to the show. We got the whole crew again tonight. We're staying three strong. Memphis Grizzlies fall short to the Utah Jazz, 121-115. Fall of 55-24 on the season. But if you don't think that Ja Morant and Dylan Brooks would make 6 points difference in this game, you're out of your ever-loving mind. This was a game that if the Grizzlies are fully healthy, they win this game. And you can see, Quinn Snyder got on the pregame presser and he was like, I'm so sick and tired of hearing this. And I'm paraphrasing. I don't have the quote up in front of me, but he was essentially calling out the media for the media calling out the issues that are going on with this team. And of course it's coach speak. It is, oh, there's nothing going on. You guys are trying to drive a wedge in between Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. There's something going on with this team. We'll get into that a little bit more later on, but it's, you can't tell me there's nothing going on. You hear it from the different people. Oh, we got, you know, Mitchell released a statement even, I think it was yesterday, talking about how, you know, they're still same mindset. Everybody wants to win, yada, yada, yada. It's bull crap. You could see it tonight. Donovan Mitchell struggled from the field. There was a play in particular that I talked to Isaac about with Bojan Bogdanovic, and I'm rambling on. Let me get everybody else involved here, and then we'll jump back into this. We got Candace and Isaac with us. What did you guys think about this game? Let's go with Isaac first, and then we'll throw it to Candace.
Well, I mean, a lot to kind of unpack here from this game. First of all, I think they needed a game like this. I think having blowouts, that's great. You always, if you can blow a team out, you want to blow them out. But going into the playoffs, you having a game like this, I think, helps. Having a game where you have to execute down the stretch, a game where you're up, you're down, you're having to fight back, because that's playoff basketball. This was a playoff type of game. And in that atmosphere in Utah, that's what you're going to get in these playoff games on the road. So I feel like that was good for them down the stretch. But kind of to your point about kind of Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, there's definitely something going on there. There's no doubt about that. And if you have Ja and Dylan Brooks in this game, I think the Grizz win this game going away. I don't think there's any question about it. And I think even though some of the same issues that we saw that this team caused the Grizz in the playoffs last year, we saw some of those tonight. But I think knowing that you didn't have Ja Morant and Dylan Brooks, I think going back to last night and our comments about Utah and not being scared to face this team, I think I feel just as good or better after seeing what I saw tonight about not being afraid of this team. Because again, man, you have Ja Morant and Dylan Brooks, especially in that overtime, because I wasn't a big fan of kind of the offense and overtime. I think they settled for some shots. I think if you had Ja and Dylan Brooks in there, I think some of those points, you would have got some points in the paint. I think there were some bad shots, some forced shots, some rush shots in overtime, and that wouldn't have happened if Ja and Dylan. I think they would have really helped close this game out. I think that was a big issue in this game. I think just in the end of the day, man, you just got to make shots. And I think you look at the box score, 39-101 for 38.6%, man, that's just not going to get it done most of the time. They played definitely good enough defense to get the win here tonight, but I think it's just the Gobert and Whiteside effect. I think a lot of those easy shots, like those Tyus floaters, a lot of stuff that they get in the paint, only 40 points tonight. And that's a terrible number for the Grizzlies in the paint for how they run their offense. I think a lot of that had to do with the shot blocking ability of Whiteside and Gobert. And a lot of those shots, you rush them, you're not as comfortable taking those shots because you're worried about getting them blocked. And I think that's what we saw tonight. They almost made enough threes, man, 13-31 for 41.9%. They almost made enough to make up for that. They shot so well from three that they were still in the game, but those points in the paint really killed them tonight. And I think that's the reason why they weren't able to win this game. And again, man, Whiteside and Gobert definitely caused a lot of problems for you in the paint and definitely make you think when you're going in there.
Yeah. I'd agree with a lot of you guys' sentiment. Whenever you shoot 38.6% from the floor, you kind of got to expect that you aren't going to win that one. But it's the fact that they were able to take it to overtime, that they're still able to be competitive and sort of give the Jazz run for their money when they went on sort of, you know, their long runs. I think this is a good litmus test for the Grizzlies. It didn't give me any concern whatsoever. It actually gives me more confidence about this team. You know, like I think Dylan and Ja are more than the difference. Really, I think just a few different plays could have been made in overtime. And I think Grizzlies could have easily won this game. So you're playing against a team that's desperate. they had to have this game. So they absolutely had to have this game. They needed this game. The Grizzlies didn't in any form or imagination. We've already got the 2 seed locked up. We're just sort of playing it to see how we play up against these good teams. And so, you know, a few things you do differently, but considering it's in the grand scheme of things, this loss doesn't really mean anything one way or the other. I'm completely fine with the outcome tonight.
Yeah, Isaac mentioned the 40 points in the paints for, man, I don't know what's going on with me tonight. 40 points in the paint for the Grizzlies. They were 41% in the painted area, which is just terrible. You got to be better than that. Mm-hmm. One of the best paint defenders, for, you know, the best drop defender in the league is a huge, that's a huge part of it. But one thing that the Grizzlies, they were doing early on that was working really well is Steven Adams, his ability to pass the ball. And I mentioned this on Twitter. He was eating Gobert up because Gobert would drop super deep and then Adams would go up and attack him. And when he would go in toward him, he would make Gobert scoot up and then they could cut behind Gobert. They got a number of points in the paint by Adams, you know, dishing the ball to somebody after they back cut Gobert. And that's something. The Jazz were able to make adjustments on that, but you look at the assist numbers for Steven Adams at 8, I would say probably at least six of those 8 were him attacking Gobert coming up toward him, and then him hitting a cutter right underneath the basket. And that's something I think that gives you good film for if you do end up matching up against this team in the playoffs, a way to attack Rudy Gobert. They did have Rudy Gobert. He had 5 fouls. I think if you go at him a little bit more, you could get him out of this game. And another thing that happened, Jaren Jackson saw a couple threes go down.
Yeah.
and then he just got trigger happy. And that's, yeah. I had no issue with Jaren shooting threes. I'm not on the bandwagon of he needs to stay in the paint. He was doing a good job of kind of mixing it up, attacking. He had one play where he got the ball and he goes coast to coast, Euro step, lays it up and in. A lot of good stuff from him. But after he saw a couple threes go down there late, he just starts jacking them up. And I think that you could have gotten much better shots late, especially in that overtime, than a deep three from him.
Yeah, that's what I was mentioning earlier. I didn't like a couple of those. I mean, they were wide open. I mean, it wasn't like they were just these egregious shots, but I think they could have got better shots at our offense. I just wasn't a fan of kind of some of the shots that they ended up getting in overtime. But, again, man, this is a situation where, as you guys said, the Jazz had to win this game. And I feel like the Jazz played really well. Like, I don't know if they're going to play any better than that, even in a playoff situation. And the Grizz were still right there. They were able to force this game to overtime. Just a tremendous play by Kyle Harrison, man. Desmond Bane put the D3 air ball. Kyle Harrison got the rebound. And it was just a concentration thing, man. Just have to get your timing right and put it back up and in. He was able to do that. And I just think, even with the loss, I think you, as a Grizz fan and somebody that comes to the team, you have to come out of this thing pretty positive. Because, again, I mean, Utah – is at full strength, had to win this game. And I feel like they played really, really well tonight. And the Grizzlies did not play their best basketball and were still able to take this to overtime. So, I mean, that's kind of what I was impressed by. But again, you can't shoot 38.6% and expect to win. And the fact that they were still able to be close to doing that, a couple shots here and there, a couple things going another way, they could have won this, is super impressive. So this team, when they get healthy, and you get all these guys back going to the playoffs, man, this team is super dangerous. And I think they've proven – And I think if other teams are watching this, what they've been able to do without their main guys, I think there's going to be some coaches worried about this team going into playoffs. But I don't think anybody wants to face this Grizzlies team right now.
Yeah. And a couple of points. I think it's a little unfortunate because of how well this matchup actually went for us. I think by the Jazz winning this game means they won't fall any lower than 6th, and I'm pretty sure. So that means we won't see them in the playoffs. You guys maybe double check that for me, but I think I saw that somewhere on Twitter that win sort of cemented at least a top 6 seed for them, which makes sense at this point. Yeah. So that won't be a matchup we get to see, unfortunately, because this sort of solidified my confidence that I had going in with this matchup to begin with. But
hold on. You got no confidence in the Jazz coming out of the other side. They're going to be on More than likely, the opposite side of the bracket.
No,
that was their best credit.
They're not beating Dallas on Golden State.
I'm fine. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'll let you finish up. But I'm like, it is still kind of a possibility. It's a long shot, but
is it? Will they fall? They can't fall to the play-in. I thought we only could play the play-in.
I'm just saying, the Western Conference Finals would be the next.
With this
win. They move up to – they're in the 5 seed with this win, and they can't fall any lower than 6. Minnesota dropped a deuce tonight against Washington. Like, I have no idea what are the Wizards doing to win.
It's what I did. I don't know what they're doing, man. They beat Dallas out. Why are they winning games? Like, I have no idea what's going on with that team. Porzingis has been killing it. He's found something going back to the Wizards, man. He's looking like New York Knicks. Porzingis right now, man. They're winning games. I don't know, man. If I was them, I would be kind of playing those young guys, man, and playing for a draft pick. But I guess you can order them for playing hard. A lot of these teams are playing hard. I think I DM'd David earlier during this game. I was like, the only team that really seemed to quit are the Pacers and possibly Sacramento. All these other teams, the Magic, the Pistons, the Wizards, the Knicks, all these teams are still playing hard, man. But again, it's been another big victory for the Wizards, and that's a bad loss for Minnesota tonight. Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off, David.
Oh yeah, you're good. The point I was making is one that was sad to see, but two, I'm really excited to see this team together. I think the first quarter and sort of how bad they shot to come out of the gate confirmed for me that I'm really happy that they went ahead and put this team back together, and I hope they continue that. I think it's apparent that this team works best coming out of a rhythm. And so it seems pretty optimistic that we might see Ja before the playoffs. And I think that's important because I think that's another factor too. They shot 38% from the field, but his team was a little rusty. They hadn't played in a few days. And so it just goes to our argument, Isaac, when you're on, we're talking on Twitter, this team is a rhythm team. And I think that this game, that was another takeaway that I had from sort of this game. And another reason why I wasn't really concerned about their performance one way or the other.
One thing that I want to touch on, I think, we discussed the game a little bit here. We talked about the Grizzlies' struggle from the field. Taylor Jenkins mentioned that in his post-game presser. He said, you're not going to win many games shooting 38% from the field. He was really happy with the team's fight in this game. But something that was asked to him in the pregame presser I thought was extremely interesting. I don't know who asked it. I think it was a Utah Jazz, a guy that covers the Jazz. But he asked him about the people that have been saying, the Grizzlies are not going to be able to get out and transition. They're not going to be able to do, this offensive rebounding, second chance points. Those kind of things don't work in the playoffs. What do you think about that? And Taylor Jenkins, I love the way he responded. He basically just said he didn't worry about it. He's like, I don't listen to that stuff. I come out here every day and I try to prepare this team to be the best version of themselves. And, just take it as we go. He said, we do those things and we do those things really well, but there are other things that this team does besides just that. And so I think that they're going to be ready for the playoffs. I think he's ready to make adjustments, but I want to get your opinion on that. Do you think, and we talked about the half-court offense with this team now over the last, week or so with Ja being out, Ty is kind of running the point and seeing the ball move around. Do you think that there's any concern? Is there any weight to that the Grizzlies are not going to be able to play their style of basketball in the playoffs?
There's some weight to it, but I wouldn't take much into it. I think that this team, and at least post All-Star break, has been able to show improvements in the things that they needed to, or at least we've seen them show improvement. I think like 3-point shooting was a big point of emphasis that was really concerning that they couldn't even make a league average for a lot of these games. We've been seeing them shoot the three from at a higher clip. I think we've been seeing the assist numbers go up, and that might change when Ja gets back in the lineup. So we'll have to see about that part. And then we're getting healthy. So I think we have two ball creators. We got Dylan Brooks. He can create his own shot. As weird as his shots may be, we need his ability to be able to create his own shot. And of course, Ja Morant is able to create his own shot. And then even our free throw percentages, it's been better. It's not been as egregious. We've had some bad nights, I think, but I've seen it's not as consistently a problem as it has been, I think. I like what I'm seeing in that area. Like tonight they shot 82%. And so those things, I think, will help make up for our reliance on second chance points or transition points. They may not be as prominent, but this team is versatile. I think if anything that I've learned from this team over the season, they've shown that they know how to win in a lot of different types of situations. And they've shown that they can execute in a lot of different types of situations. And so that gives me the confidence and sort of overrules, you know, that thinking, because I'm looking at what I've seen recently and how they're playing now. And I think that's what matters the most going into the playoffs.
As Candace said, I think this team is a chameleon. Like she said, I think they have shown that they can win basketball games in different ways and they can adjust and make adjustments. I think Taylor Jenkins has shown that to kind of play against different teams, whatever different teams are doing to them, they've made adjustments and still been able to win games. And with the rebounding thing, I think if any team in the league, I mean, this team has been number one in the league in rebounding all year. So if there's any team in the playoffs that can live off second chance points and create those opportunities, I think it's this Grizzlies team. I don't worry about that. I do think that they'll be able to get second chance points. It might not be, you might not be able to do it on a level that you were able to do it in a regular season, but I still don't, I think it's going to be a big factor for this team. I think Dylan Brooks coming back really helps in the half court offense, the way that he can create his shots. I think the 3-point shooting, as Candace said, I think De'Anthony Melton is going to be key. I mean, the way he's been knocking down shots, they're really going to need that off the bench in the playoffs, him to continue to come in and knock down those shots. Tyus Jones has been knocking down threes at a much higher clip this year than he's done in the past. So I'm not as worried about it. I think this team will be fine, but I guess if you're going to point to something in the playoffs, there's going to be an issue, I guess. Half-court offense and free throw shooting, I guess, would be those two things. But I think this team will be able to overcome. I think this team is super versatile, and I think they'll be able to adjust. If they get into a situation where a team is kind of taking them out of that, I think they have guys there. I mean, you have Ja who can get in the paint, do different things. You have Dylan who now can create, get into the paint. And then you have guys that are knocking down shots right now. You have Jared, and he's at times incredibly hard to guard. I mean, you saw sometimes tonight, man, like, how do you guard him? I mean, that's the thing. And defensively, I think they'll be able to get stops. And this team puts points on the board. So I'm not as worried about it as some might be. I think they're going to be fine when they get to the playoffs.
And I just like to throw this out there. I think just even from a coaching perspective, Dylan hinted at this earlier. I mentioned it in a interview he was asked. He talked about how Coach Jenkins used to just have like two plays. That was sort of his go-to plays. And now he's got all sorts. And I think you can sense that just in a different – I think it's – sure, the players have to be able to execute and they have to be able to put together the game plan on the court. But I think Coach Jenkins himself has been able to make these adjustments and figure out ways to counter whenever teams figure out what the Grizzlies do well. I haven't really just seen him or the team get stuck. And so all of that gives me the confidence in the world. I don't think it'll be the factor everybody thinks it'll be going when it's actually time to start playing playoff basketball.
So speaking of, you know, Taylor Jenkins kind of expanding his plays and getting out of just that one or two, you know, we talked a little bit about, you know, Bane taking that three and then Anderson grabbing the rebound and sending this ball to overtime. What did you think about the play that he drew up there at the end of regulation with a chance to win the game?
I think I was all for it. When they called the timeout, I was like, man, I'm going to try to win this. If the opportunity to get a three and a good look at a three is there, I'm going to take it. And I was thinking Bane, obviously, is the guy, and that's kind of what he drew up. They asked him in the post game, was that the play? I think that was Drew Hill from the Daily Memphis that asked him that. And he said, yeah, that the play was to get Bane a shot. And Bane, I mean, I know that was a deep three, but he can make that shot. So I had no problem with how that played out. And Kyle Anderson got it in great position for the rebound, man, was able to put it back up and in. But, I mean, as a coach, if I was in that situation, I would have done the same thing. I would have drew up a play for Bane for the win. I think you got nothing to lose in that situation. And again, man, you're playing with house money, man. You're just playing, and if you got an opportunity to get out of there with a win, man, I take it, and I have no problem with that play you drew up and the look that Bane got there. Just didn't knock down, man. Luckily, Kyle was able to get that rebound and put it back up and in, but I think it was a fine play. I had no problem with it.
Yep, same. And, I mean, if Josh's on the floor. That's who I prefer. I mean, I know Jaren has proven to be clutch in three, you know, when you needed three from him. That sort of, that didn't happen tonight in overtime, but Bane is who I want to have that shot. And I actually think that he's, I feel more confident sometimes the further back he is, just because he's so strong. You know, sometimes it's the ones that's closer to the 3-point line that, that seem to just, you know, bounce right off because he put too much on it. So that's his shot. It was a great look. And that's exactly the kind of play calling that you want. And that, and it just goes to the point, you know, about Taylor Jenkins being able to put this team in good positions to win.
I think it shows that he believes in his guys.
Yeah.
I think that's a good thing. And another note, man, we talk about Dylan and his mid-range and these crazy shots, man. Desmond Bane's kind of the same way on his three-pointers. Like, he makes these wild shots. There are times where he's falling out of bounds on one leg, fading back. I mean, he makes some crazy shots too. So, again, man, I have no problem with that. And when he took it, when he went up, I didn't say, oh, man, that's a bad shot. Like, you kind of feel like every time he shoots it, it has opportunity to go in. So, again, man, no problem there.
Yeah, if anything, I think they were just too reliant. And we brought this up earlier. We talked about Jaren just kind of taking too many threes. You know, that's part of it. But I was just wondering if some of those were the game plan, just because of how it's drawn up, that people got the ball back to Jaren. So there was opportunity where, like, Desmond would get the ball and then they pass it back to Jaren. And so it just kind of seemed like, you know, we always joke about those play calls down the stretch where it's just like, Ja, go make a play. You know, I don't know if they tried the Jaren go make a play move. It seemed like that might have been a part of the game plan too, just because it happened on like three different possessions in overtime. So I questioned that part a little bit, but, you know, it was worth a shot, Jaren. At least he got you to overtime, so I guess I get the logic, but you would have liked to see a little bit more diversity in those calls, but those are just learning moments. I think this is the time now if things like that are going to happen. It's been some time since they've really been in overtime. I don't know when the last time they played overtime. So you just want even the coach to get that kind of experience so that if it happens in the playoffs, he can make the right moves the next time.
Yeah, that could very well be the case. The thing that Jaren was doing really well, Rudy Gobert does not have the foot speed to keep up with him on the perimeter. And Jaren done a pretty good job attacking him. Rudy did block one of his shots late in the game, but that was the only block shot that Gobert got all night long. And so I think that Taylor Jenkins knows that that's a mismatch, and he was attacking it. And Jaren was just liking the shots that he had the space. There were, you know, lightly contested at best shots. They just were not falling. If those shots fall, if he ends, you know, the night 5 of 10 or 6 of 10, as opposed to 3 of 10, we're having a different conversation right here. One of the things that it was really interesting to me in the postgame presser, Coach Jenkins, when he was asked about that play, he mentioned that they even missed a screen. So the quality of look that Desmond Bane got, even with someone missing a screen, was still a shot that I would be happy with. He didn't knock it down. He said, you know, Kyle went exactly where we told him to go. So, you know, good pass. You know, he was kind of joking around a little bit about it, but, you know, Kyle being in the position that he was in was part of that play design. And so, you know, it all worked well. Didn't end up being the play that led to a Grizzlies victory, but it was a well-drawn-up play. I just wanted to kind of see where you guys were at on it. It's been fun to watch the growth from not only the players on this team, but the coaching staff as well. I don't really want to hammer this too long. We went, I think, pretty close to an hour and a half on our playoff preview show. So if you guys are good, I think we can run through the box score here and go ahead and wrap this up. If there's something specific that you want to talk about, I'm game for it, but I don't have much of anything else tonight.
Well,
go ahead. Sorry.
I did just want to go ahead and acknowledge we've been talking about Jaren a lot, but tonight he broke the franchise record for most blocks in a season. So just want to give Jaren a shout out. He had 3 blocks tonight, and it's oddly enough, his block, which he broke the franchise record, was a block shot against Mike Conley Jr. So it's just a little interesting, a little fun bit right there. But I definitely thought he deserved that recognition. And I think that record he broke was Pau Gasol's, right, from the 2000-2001 season.
Yeah.
So shout out Jaren.
Yeah, it was kind of poetic that it was on Mike Conley, man. It's good to see him break that record, man. Well deserved. It seems like he's getting the Defensive Player of the Year recognition that he deserves. But do want to say, man, we didn't mention it, his defense down the stretch, he's had one of those another one of those nights where he just went to another place defensively. Big plays, big blocks down the stretch that they kept him in a game, and then knocked down the two threes that kind of led to this game, them staying in the game and being able to force overtime. Just a tremendous finish for him, man. Just wish a couple of those shots could have went down in overtime. They weren't bad looks. Like I said, I would have preferred to get – I think there were probably better shots they could have got with an offense, but they weren't like they were bad shots. So shots were wide open, man. He just didn't knock them down, as David said. But run through the box score. We kind of touched on some of these things here. Grizzlies, not a good night from the field, man. 39 of 101 for 38.6%. And, again, I think a lot of that just had to do with the shot blocking ability of Rudy Gobert and Hassan Whiteside, man. You go in there a couple times and you get those shot blocks. You kind of thinking when you go in there with those floaters, you're not feeling as confident. And I think that's why a lot of those shots, they end up missing them. But Utah goes not much better, 40 of 96 for 41.7%. So not a good night for them at all. And I think that was a testament to the Grizzlies defense, especially down the stretch in that fourth quarter. And they missed a lot of threes. Grizzlies, a good night from three, 13 of 31 for 41.9%. Utah, 12 of 38 for 31.6%. Jazz plus 7 in attempts, but the Grizzlies plus 1 at makes. So, I mean, that's big. I mean, Utah's a team, I think, shoot the most threes in the NBA. And for you to outshoot them, you beat them by one on from three from the perimeter for a team that in the Grizzlies that's not necessarily known for being a three-point team. I think that's a good sign going into the playoffs, because they just massacred the Grizzlies in most of those games in the playoffs from three last year. So see the Grizzlies win the three-point matchup tonight. I think that's a really positive that you can take out of this game. Free throw shooting, good for the Grizzlies tonight, 24-29 for 82.8%. Utah, 29 of 43 for 67.4%. So not a good night for the Stripe from them. They plus 14 in attempts for Utah. You don't like to see that, man. I don't like to harp on officiating, but there was some questionable stuff there, especially in the second half. They kind of let them play in the first half and kind of tightened up on the whistle in the second half, especially I felt like on the Grizzlies end, I felt like they let Utah get a little handsy there, but no, that's not why they lost the game. But I feel like it was a little bit one side there in the second half. I'm not going to harp on that. Grizzlies get out rebounded tonight. Not something that you see a lot. 61 to 51 Utah. Utah with 13 offensive rebounds. Grizzlies with 10. Grizzlies with 26 assists. Did not reach that magic number 30-23 for Utah. 13-8 in the steals department. Grizzlies still forcing getting in fast lanes, forcing deflections. So you like to see that. 7 blocks for the Grizzlies to 8 to Utah. 13 turnovers to 17 turnovers for Utah. Both teams had 14 points off those turnovers. Fast break points, 15 to 20 Utah. And points in the paint, this is, I think, the glaring one that you can look back on and see why the Grizzlies lost this game. And only 40 points in the paint. Usually see that number up at 60 or higher for the Grizzlies. But 56 points in the paint for Utah. So Grizzlies lose the paint battle by 16 points. And I think that was your ball game. I think, was it 41%? That the Grizzlies shot up in the paint tonight with the type of team they are, that's not going to get it done. Not going to get it done for most teams, but definitely not going to get it done for the Grizzlies. And I think that's kind of why they lost this game tonight.
Yeah, I agree. That's the free throw stuff. You guys know that makes me happy. But it just goes to show you, you look at the struggles from Utah, and, you know, 29 of 43 from the free throw line. If they knock down more of those free throws, this game does not even go to overtime. So, you know, the Grizzlies recently they've had a stretch here. You know, DeAnthony Melton went 6 for 6, like to help close out that game against, I just forgot the team name, man, brain fart here. Who did Melton down the stretch there? He made 6 in a row. It was, against Phoenix.
Phoenix.
Melton made 6 in a row to Phoenix. Close that game out against Phoenix.
Was it it was Suns, right? The Suns, right? Yeah. They kept trying to foul him, and they were able to make their free throws. Or was that DeAnthony?
Yeah, it was Melton. He went, because he shot, if I'm not mistaken, he shot like the last 6 free throws.
Yeah, he went 6
to close that game out. So, you know, that's – I talk about it all the time. Some of you guys may be tired of hearing about it, but I'm going to continue to talk about it, because when the game slows down, that's going to matter. And if the Grizzlies are shooting 83% from the line, they're going to win a lot of games in the playoffs. And that's something I've just always felt that way. Even before I ever started doing this podcast, when I was watching college basketball, high school basketball, I've watched so many games. And being a Memphis fan of any type, if you have watched Memphis basketball, period, you have watched games get lost from the free throw line. So
man, for years.
And that's, you know, I don't, you know, Kansas winning this championship 2008, you go back to that team, free throws. I don't remember how many missed in that championship game.
God, man.
It was a lot. It was bad. So we'll go ahead and wrap it up. We appreciate you guys tuning in. You can get me on Twitter at DavidW2111. The show is at Ethos Grizzlies. Candace, let them know where they can find you, and then Isaac will get us out of here.
All right. I just want to make this quick observation. This note I noticed, I just was looking at the overtime box score here, and they actually didn't have any assists, and only two people touched the ball. So that's exactly kind of what I was thought about when we were talking about the offensive execution. That sort of just goes to show that. And I think there'll be some really helpful takeaways from this game, especially that overtime in particular from a coaching perspective. So I'm actually really excited and optimistic about moving forward. You can find me on Twitter at Seahawks901. That C is in cat, Hawks 901. Take us out, Isaac.
Yeah, man. And to go back to the free throw, shout out to Steven Adams. Peter Brevin said on the broadcast that if any opposing team player at Utah misses two free throws, the fans get a free chicken sandwich. So Steven Adams went to the free throw line, missed the first and made the second. So no chicken sandwiches for the Utah Jazz fans tonight. So just wanted to get that in there.
You get the win, but you get no chicken.
No chicken, man. Yeah, but the Grizz will be back on the hardwood on Thursday night in Denver. Taylor Jenkins they asked him about resting guys or whatever. He said, when we get on the flight, we get there, we'll see how we feel and how we're going to handle that. So we'll see when the injury report comes out for Grizz PR. But you can find me on Twitter at Isaac_Rivals. That's ISAAC_Rivals. We will be back on Thursday evening. Another semi-late game, 8 p.m. tip. That's Mountain Time game out there in Denver. 8 p.m. tip here locally. But we'll be back with a post game. So be on the lookout for that. Until next time, we go.